You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
I'm Catherine Lanfer in for John Hockenberry. Now, you've probably heard of John Zogby.
Oh, of course.
I know. He's a famous pollster.
Famous.
He's a maverick political pollster. He's made some uncanny successful calls. And in his new book, he takes a look at an even bigger canvas, The American Dream in Transition. He's populated this new world with four distinct archetypes. Okay, Adora, are you a first global, a member of the Nike generation, the Woodstock, the private? You're not taking any of them, I can tell. Okay. We're going to find out what these different tags mean and what Zogby thinks they say about the future as he talks to us about his new book, The Way Will Be, The Zogby Report on the Transformation of the American Dream. He's joining us by phone from his hometown and headquarters in Utica, New York. Hey, John Zogby, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, good morning. What a pleasure.
Now, we're in an economic downturn. The foreclosure rate is staggering and we're at war, but you see a rosy future?
Oh, I do indeed. You know, these are boom and bust periods. But the important thing is that in the recent recessions that we have had, where people have been dealt a lot of lemons, over the years they've learned how to make lemonade. And so there have been some serious adjustments that we have made as Americans to our lives. Not the least of which is the fact that on one end of the spectrum, better than one in four of us work at a job that pays less than a previous job. And so we've been forced to move, I guess, as Elizabeth Kubler-Ross might suggest,
oh, <no. laughs>
from anger to all the way to adjustment.
I believe there's denial, then there's, you know, acceptance.
And acquiescence and all the way. We are adjusting. On the other end of the spectrum, you have those who've done very, very well. By all accounts, materially, but who have concluded for one reason or another that, hey, you know, there's got to be more to my life than this chase. And then in between, and this is where I get somewhat into generational kinds of issues, you have so many Americans who realize that at the age of 60 or 65, they may have 25 to 35 years of good health remaining in their lives, and they really want to do something that is fulfilling, something that defines their life beyond what they did for work.
You came up with four specific populations. If we could briefly go through them, and maybe we should start with the first globals, because they seem to be getting a lot of your attention. Who are the first globals?
18 to 29-year-olds who have passports. When I wrote this book almost a year ago, 42% of this age group had passports. It's well over 50%. They travel overseas, but they have the internet available to them, global music, global fashion. They have the first global perspective of any age cohort. They are very much citizens of the planet before they're citizens of the United States.
All right. And then who would their parents be?
In many instances, boomers, but older Generation Xers. I call Generation Xers the Nike generation. This was the first group of people not wedded because of circumstances to many traditional institutions. They were born into broken marriages. They were born into Watergate. They were born into a world of scandal and of institutions that were falling apart. And so their motto as libertarians with a small L, just do it. And so I call them the Nikes.
Okay, any discussion of the American dream, any discussion of the American population, if I hear the phrase baby boomer one more time, I'm going to explode.
So don't. I've renamed them.
Oh, good.
The Woodstockers, and I'm one of them myself. And literally, I was at Woodstock and really hated every moment that I was there. The music was wonderful. But my fellow Americans who were there were disgusting. And it's
there. You got to be at an iconic event and you're going to complain to me about hygiene or something?
Yeah. Oh, it was disgusting. In a word. You know, I don't. I think solipsism is a good word for early morning NPR radio. But the truth is.
Wait a minute! Ding, 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 ding! The vocabulary sweepstakes. You just won, John Zogby.
Oh, great! The duck came down. Yeah, we are a generation of which too much was made out of us, and we learned to absorb that.
Everyone's going to agree with that quickly in the time we have remaining. You also have a fourth population that you call the private.
The private generation, yes, sandwiched in between Tom Brokaw's greatest generation and the Woodstockers. These are people who, sense of duty, sense of community, sense of honor, old-fashioned patriotism. So you see where there's some real tension here, interesting tension among the four different groups I talk about.
All right. Now, we know that you've shied away from the candidates in this book, and it seems pretty clear that the McCain campaign is a private. Obama represents the first global. So how are you going to frame this election, and how do your populations help shape what's coming up in the campaign?
Well, for starters, you have representatives of two distinct generations, but also means two distinct paths for the United States of America. On one hand, it can choose the path of globalism, of diversity, of multiculturalism, of America no longer a unipolar power, but a cooperative power with other nations, versus an older America with a sense of duty and honor, and heroism, and my way or the highway.
All right. Now, John Zogby, we're going to ask you to stick around because we're going to be talking about those new census numbers that came out that say that we're going to have a minority majority much earlier than we thought. So get comfortable because we're going to come back to you. That's John Zogby. He is the author of The Way Will Be, the Zogby Report on the Transformation of the American Dream, and we'll hear from him a little later.